KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, October 24th. Covered California insurance premiums could nearly double in lower-income areas. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A sleeping cabins project in Lemon Grove is moving forward. The County Board of Supervisors on Tuesday approved moving forward with negotiations to buy the property where the project would be located. It's intended to provide services and shelter for people experiencing homelessness. Alongside 60 sleeping cabins, the property would also have common areas and hygiene facilities. There would also be on-site security and case management workers. If sale goes through, construction could begin next summer. A procession was held yesterday in honor of Lauren Craven. She's a 25-year-old La Mesa police officer who was killed in the line of duty on IE8 while helping a driver whose car had overturned. Craven is survived by her partner, parents, and was remembered by her colleagues as an officer who always served with compassion for others. The La Mesa Police Officers Association launched an official Fund a Hero campaign, and all proceeds will go directly to Craven's family. The association's goal is to raise $50,000. Poway's new e-bike rules will go into effect late November. Poway's City Council gave final approval to the new rules on Tuesday. Those include not allowing anyone under 12 years old to use an e-bike, and restricting anyone under 16 years old from using a Class 3 e-bike, which are those that can go up to 28 miles per hour. Also, all riders under 18 years old are not allowed to transport passengers and must wear a helmet. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Healthcare premiums are set to rise for nearly 150,000 San Diego County residents who are insured through the Affordable Care Act. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says if Congress fails to extend federal subsidies, most could see their monthly costs skyrocket.
Covered California says about 125,000 San Diegans depend on federal subsidies to make their monthly premiums more affordable. They warn if Congress doesn't extend those subsidies,
many of our enrollees will receive much less tax credit, and some of our enrollees will no longer be eligible.
Jessica Altman runs Covered California. She says in San Diego County, the average increase is slightly less than the rest of the state.
But a 76% cost increase your health insurance is still astronomical.
In higher income areas like La Jolla, premiums could rise around 65%. But in South Bay cities like Chula Vista, increases could effectively double premium costs. Open enrollment begins November 1st. Altman says she estimates about 1 in 4 enrollees will not be able to afford coverage. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
Most of California's Democratic congressional delegation is demanding answers about why the Marines fired live artillery over Interstate 5 Saturday. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says they're asking Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth the same questions a lot of people are asking.
California lawmakers are asking Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth this week who ordered live fire over the freeway and who decided it was safe. Democratic Representative Mike Levin's district includes Camp Pendleton.
Never in my wildest imagination did I expect that they would fire over the freeway. It appears the administration heard safety warnings from the Marine Corps and completely ignored them.
The California Highway Patrol says two of its vehicles were hit by artillery shrapnel on the 5 during Saturday's event with Hegseth and Vice President J.D. Vance. Defense Department video shows after leaving San Diego, Hegseth visited the Top Gun School in Fallon, Nevada, where he rode in the back seat of an FA-18 Super Hornet.
No leader should be using the military for personal vanity, for spectacle.
A spokesperson for Hegseth declined to comment and says all questions should be directed toward the Marines at Camp Pendleton. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
This month, 5 tribes are launching a commission to safeguard the new Chuckwalla National Monument near the Salton Sea. Reporter Corey Suzuki says the desert landscape is facing an uncertain future as the Trump administration weighs rolling back its new environmental protections.
The Chuckwalla Monument was one of President Joe Biden's final acts in office. In January, he granted sweeping federal protections to the high desert region on the border of Imperial and Riverside County. In particular, Biden pledged that the government would work with tribes to manage the landscape, which is sacred to a number of tribal nations who trace their origins to the region along the Colorado River.
This is actually, I believe, one of the first of its kind, this intertribal commission.
Zion White is a council member with the Fort Yuma Quitson tribe, one of the 5 tribes that have signed onto the new Chuckwalla Monument Intertribal Commission. He says their goal is to make sure that tribal voices and expertise are heard when it comes to decisions in Washington.
All tribes that still exist within the U.S. have been stewarding these lands since time immemorial, so we know a thing or two. So I think the more we can incorporate this knowledge, the better off, you know, the landscape will be.
White says their first priorities are to map out the landscape in greater detail and set out clearer guidelines for recreational activities. The announcement comes as the Trump administration has considered revoking the monument's protections, but has not taken any concrete action yet. A spokesperson for the Interior Department declined to comment, citing the government shutdown. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Dozens of emergency vehicles were on the runway at McClellan Palomar Airport in Carlsbad yesterday morning. They were there for an emergency response exercise. North County reporter Alexander Wen has the sights and sounds from the scene.
A passenger plane has veered off the runway, debris strewn everywhere, dozens injured, several dead.
So this drill that you see behind you is a testing of that emergency response system.
Airport operations manager John Otto says it's part of the FAA requirement for commercial airports. Until this year, Palomar hasn't had a commercial flight in more than 10 years.
We still perform these drills because it's a part of our 139 certificate. So we practice even though there wasn't a commercial airline here, knowing that one day a commercial airline would return.
And return they did. American Airlines returned earlier this year, and United is expected to return next year.
We'll be doing this again in 2028.
As the saying goes, train for the worst, but hope for the best. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Soccer playoffs are coming to San Diego. Both the Top Flight men's and women's teams are postseason bound. Reporter Jacob Ayer says their success is helping to further grow the passion for soccer in the region.
Dreams of a sports championship are still alive in San Diego this year thanks to professional soccer. Major League Soccer's San Diego FC and the National Women's Soccer League San Diego Wave FC are both headed to the playoffs over the next few weeks. Alex Godinez is a member of supporters groups for both teams. He says having 2 successful soccer teams in town has brought the community together.
San Diego was a soccer city even before we had teams. So the fact that we have 2 professional teams in this city has been amazing, and people are just so excited to be able to attend these games and see these superstars really performing in front of us.
SDFC plays their first ever postseason game Sunday evening at Snapdragon Stadium to kick off a best-of-3 series. As for Wave FC, their playoffs are scheduled to begin in early November. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
If you don't have tickets to the SDFC playoff game, or even if you do, we have some other weekend events for you to check out. As Halloween approaches and things start getting a bit spookier, tonight from 5 to 9 is Vista Fright Night. In downtown Vista, they'll have trick-or-treating and a costume contest for kids, adults, and even pets. For anyone looking to preserve their inner child while also supporting one of our public libraries, there is adult laser tag. Ditch the kiddos and play laser tag inside the Lakeside Library tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. If you're feeling spooky with a need for some mental and physical release, then maybe Pilates and Pumpkins is for you. That's happening at 5 p.m. Saturday at June Shine in Scripps Ranch. It starts with Pilates, then calms you down with meditation, and then ramps you back up with a happy hour and after party. And for anyone looking to honor a deceased loved one and celebrate their life, happening on Sunday in downtown Oceanside is the 24th annual Dia de los Muertos Festival. It honors the culture, community, and tradition of the holiday and features ofrendas, or altars, to pay your respects and more. No matter what you do, enjoy your weekend. That's it for the podcast today. The podcast this week was edited by Quinn Owen and Brooke Ruth. Andrew Dyer also helped us out on SDNN this week. It was produced and hosted by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Pacific Arts Movement, inviting you to the 26th San Diego Asian Film Festival, November 6th to 15th, showcasing films from China, India, Hong Kong, Japan, South Korea, Thailand, and Vietnam. For tickets and information, go to sdaff.org.